Let me pray for us. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that as we've just heard Mary read that passage, we've heard you speak to us. And we pray now you will continue to speak to us as we think about this story together. Amen. Well, here I've got some plants, some herbs that live on my kitchen windowsill normally. Here we go, we've got some parsley, some thyme, and here is some mint. But as you can see, the mint has got a little bit droopy. I don't know if it's supposed to grow like that. And the thyme, well, the thyme is definitely past its best. Because you see, plants like that, plants need various things, don't they, to grow. If you're sitting next to someone, just turn to them and tell them what plants like this need in order to grow. Okay, I wonder what you said. Maybe you said they need sunlight, they need water, they need good soil with nutrients. You're probably supposed to plant those in other pots, aren't you? Not the one they come in from the supermarket. Also, though, because those plants are living in my kitchen, well, they need someone to look after them. They need someone to come and water them. And I think that might be probably the main area where we're going wrong. Well, we're going to answer two big questions this morning from that true story that we've just heard. And the first of them is this: how does the church grow? So those plants, they need sunshine and water and good soil and someone to look after them. But what does the church need to grow? Well, Alan's reminded us in the big storyline of Acts, things got really shaky, didn't they? That great persecution arose against the church and all the Christians fled away out of Jerusalem. And the church was in danger of becoming a little bit like my time, in danger of withering away and dying. But then last week, we saw, despite that setback, well, the church continued to grow as those Christians who've been sent out, they're in Samaria, they start talking to the Samaritans about Jesus. And today we're going to see that growth continue in our passage. We zoom in and we're going to hear of one person becoming a Christian and being baptized. The church growing little by little, one person by one person. And this time it's an Ethiopian eunuch who was in charge of all of the Queen of Ethiopia's money. That sounds like a pretty fun job, doesn't he? In charge of all of the Queen of Ethiopia's money. And he becomes a Christian. His life is changed by what happens to him. He goes away rejoicing, and the church, little by little, person by person, continues to grow. So, how does the church grow? Well, the first thing our story shows us is that it is God's work. Now, all the way through, we're reminded that God is the one who's pulling the strings. So in verse 26, well, there is an angel of the Lord who's directing events. And then we hear about this man has somehow got hold of a copy of Isaiah, which is from the Old Testament in the Bible. And through that, as he reads God's word, God is preparing him for what's going to happen next. And then verse 29, the Holy Spirit tells Philip to go up to that man's chariot to help him. And actually, right at the end, we hear about the Spirit at work again as he sends Philip off somewhere else to go and talk about to some other people about Jesus. So in lots of different ways in our passage, we're shown that God is at work here. God is taking the initiative. God is arranging events, causing this man to stop and think because of what he reads in the Bible. Which shows us that whenever people become Christians, and whenever the church grows, well, it's because God is at work by the Holy Spirit. In fact, God cares more about the growth of the church and people becoming Christians than anyone else does. He is always at work to bring about that growth. But that's not all we can say, is it, from our story, if you were listening to it, about how the church grows. God is behind it all, but Philip also has a really important role to play. How does the church grow? Well, it's God's work as we talk about Jesus. Do you remember what the Holy Spirit said to Philip? He said, go to that chariot and stay near it. Now, I think that's quite a funny image if you think about it, because can you imagine, there's Philip and he's running alongside this chariot. Okay, God's told him, just go to that chariot and run alongside it. And there is Philip and he's running alongside the chariot and he's feeling a bit awkward as he's there, what am I supposed to do next? But then he hears the man reading the Bible out loud and he knows exactly what he's got to do. So there he is, he's running, he plucks up the courage, he shouts, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian, who's up in his carriage, his chariot, he looks down, he's maybe a little bit surprised to see this man running next to him, but he replies and he says, no, how can I? Unless someone explains it to me. And then to Philip's great relief, well, he gets invited up into the chariot. And after he gets his breath back, well, he explains to the man how that passage in Isaiah is all about Jesus. How Jesus was the one who was led like a sheep to the slaughter. How Jesus was the one who was denied any justice by his enemies. And how Jesus' life was taken from him on the cross. But then I don't think Philip stops there either. He explains that passage the man's reading and then he says, oh, but there's more. Let me explain to you that actually all that happened to Jesus was part of God's plan. Let me tell you that actually Jesus died for sinners like you and me. But let me tell you that that Jesus who died is now alive and is reigning above everything. Once he's got his breath back, Philip simply explains the gospel to the Ethiopian eunuch. And God uses Philip's words to change that man's life. He repents, he believes, and he becomes a Christian right there in the chariot. And then they spot some water and he goes and gets baptized right there by the side of the road as an outward sign of how he's been washed clean of all his sins and he's given this amazing new start in life. It is an amazing story. Philip was willing to just talk about Jesus and God used that to change the man's life and to grow his church one person at a time. Now, did you realize that you get to play a part of the church? Because if you know Jesus, well then you can talk to someone else about Jesus. And sometimes we think we have to leave it to the professionals. But Philip wasn't a professional. And maybe we worry we just won't know the answers to people's questions. Well, I don't think Philip was an expert in Isaiah. But he knew that the good news is all about Jesus. And so he used that passage that the man happened to be reading to start talking about Jesus. Maybe you're thinking, ah, but I don't get angels or the Holy Spirit telling me directly to go and talk to someone like Philip did. But we're not told to expect that to happen all of the time. Even in Acts, most of the time, Christians just go and start talking to people about Jesus without any direct instruction. Knowing that behind the scenes, God is at work. He's at work, always. So will we join him in talking about Jesus? I wonder who sits next to you at school? Who lives next door to you? What about your hairdresser? I was encouraged the other day when my hairdresser told me that he had been talking to someone else from All Saints about Christian things. What an encouragement. None of those connections that we have to people are simply by chance. God is at work growing his church. So will we join him by talking about Jesus? Now, I said earlier there are two big questions that this story helps answer for us. And here comes the second one. You ready for it? It's a really important question because maybe now we are excited to go and talk to some people about Jesus. But what kind of people should we talk to? Who is the church for? Well, this story gives us a brilliant and really important answer. The church is for anyone from anywhere who trusts in Jesus. In our story, God deliberately sends Philip somewhere that he would not normally go. So he sends him down south, down to this desert road where you wouldn't expect to find anyone. Why does he do that? Well, because God wants him to go and share, talk about Jesus with this particular man who happens to be a eunuch. Now, kids, you're going to have to ask your parents over lunch what a eunuch is. But the main thing to know is that they were treated as outsiders. Okay, so this eunuch, he's actually been to Jerusalem to worship, but he wouldn't have had a very good worship experience because actually he would not have been allowed into all the best bits of the temple or where the Jewish people were allowed because he's treated as an outsider. But as God sends Philip to go tell him about Jesus, well, we see the church is for anyone. It's for anyone from anywhere. See, this man, he lives hundreds and hundreds of miles from Jerusalem. He's a black African. He's from a totally different culture to the Jews. But that's absolutely fine. God sends Philip to tell him about Jesus because the church is for anyone from anywhere. Now, I've got an even better globe than that. Here we go. Here's my globe. Look at that. Okay, it does not matter where I put my finger on this globe. If I put it up here, if I put it down here, if I put it here, if I put it a little island here, it doesn't matter where I put my finger. Those places are always full of people who Jesus died for and who God welcomes into his church. People from Africa, people from Asia, even people from a little island all the way up here, Great Britain. Because sometimes we act a little bit, don't we, like Christianity started with us. But it really didn't. Like we were latecomers compared to many, many Africans and Arabs and Asians and other Europeans. We were real latecomers to the party. But the good news even came to those of us who are white and British. Because the church is for anyone, from anywhere, who trusts in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful news? Let me finish by showing you a photo that I really like. Here's a photo. It's from a wedding at a church that Lucy and I used to belong to. Maybe you can spot us in that crowd. But what I love about this picture is that it's a picture of everyone in that picture is a Christian. And yet there are people in that picture from all over the world. Quite a few people who were born somewhere else, and others who've grown up in this country, but actually whose family roots are from somewhere else. So the couple getting married, Cody, his family are from Ghana. And Michaela, well, her dad is from the Caribbean. Let me tell you about a few other people in this photo. So there's Zemi, and she's from Nigeria. Dev, his family are Hindus from India. We've got Rich from South Africa. And Jonathan, who's French. There's Fung, who's from Singapore. Israel from Uganda. Hannah's from Wales. Leo and her brother Lolu, they're from Nigeria. Charmaine's family are from Malaysia. Junyi is from China. Olivier, he's from the Democratic Republic of Congo. That's Dan, who's a Korean-American. I could go on. I could point out all sorts of other people, friends in that photo. In case you haven't spotted it, it's us. There's me, a white Englishman with a little bit of Dutch blood. And there's Lucy, half English, half Indian. What a glorious picture of God's church, full of people from all over the world who've been brought together as good friends, as brothers and sisters because of Jesus. Well, the challenge for us is to make sure that our church here also reflects that as much as possible. What can we do to make sure that the All Saints is a welcoming place for anyone from anywhere to come and learn about and follow Jesus? What can we do to make sure that is always happening? Because when that's happening, well, that's when church becomes a really exciting place to belong to. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you so much that you are always working to grow your church, and thank you that you want to use us as part of that. And Father, we thank you so much that your church really is for anyone from anywhere. Thank you that we get to be part of your church, and we pray that your church here in Crowborough would reflect that. Pray we'll be full of all sorts of people from all sorts of places, loving to follow the Lord Jesus together. Amen.